And all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. A quick shout out and thank you to Chad Moyer filling in for me yesterday as I was judging at the National Agri-Marketing Association's Collegiate Marketing Contest. So thanks, Chad. Much appreciated. Come back to some interesting market trade. We're going to talk a little bit about the influence. You know, unfortunately, headlines have continued to be a big thing, but we're going to talk more importantly about maybe are grains and cattle going to be playing together for a while in the trade? But let's talk about this wheat and the weather. Speaking of weather, it's going to be wet in many areas of the growing areas. So good news for them as long as the hail and the tornadoes stay away. Lots to factor in and unpack on today's market trade as Mike Zuzulo joins us. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics. And I think we got to start on something a little less heart heavy, shall we say. Let's talk about the wheat and the weather. I know that there's been some issues. It's made the headlines before you and I went on the air in regards to some frost damage overseas. But what are you seeing within this wheat complex to possibly continue to push it the way it's been?
I think you laid it out really nicely there, Susan, that we are looking at in the market finally this situation in the world instead of just what's happening in the United States. And what I mean by that is you and I have talked a lot about the world wheat stocks to use ratios being at 10-year lows for several months in a row, and that has not changed on each and every WASD report, but yet the trade continued to see the funds pile into a bigger and bigger net short position in wheat and corn and eventually into soybeans as well. I think what we're finally seeing come together are several factors, and maybe we're starting to see some major trading themes develop here in that the EU just announced that the official European Commission went ahead because of planting delays finally impacting the European wheat crop. They cut their wheat crop substantially, and I think this is where, and this just happened about a half an hour, 45 minutes ago, and this comes on the heels of USDA coming in their April WASD report and raising the European Union forecast versus March. And so I think this really kind of goes back to the initial genesis of what was going on in this market and why the funds were net short. And I think there were two big reasons. The production expectations were that we were going to build supplies in 24, 25 versus 23, 24, number one. Number two, the currency markets were going to make it extra difficult for the demand side to come in here and really support this market. Well, now we have this in Europe. We have Ukrainian corn prices at a four-month high in the futures market as we see short covering starting to come in there. We're also seeing the logistics finally take hold in terms of the unfortunate bombings that have been going on in the Odessa area. And I think the other thing goes back to what you just talked about, and that is the big R, Russia, and Russia equals wheat. And the 10-day forecast now for driest areas of Russia and parts of Ukraine is for hot and dry conditions. And so this is an extremely critical time for Russia, just like it is for us here in the state. So bottom lining it out, with the turn lower in the U.S. dollar today and a new weekly low thanks to some GDP numbers, I think, we've got several factors now supporting the idea that, hey, wait a minute, wheat is at a 10-year low in stocks to use ratio. So I think we are getting rich in price, but I don't see that we have to immediately go backwards and go lower at this point, that we could, in fact, build upon a tightening supply situation if we keep running things in the right direction fundamentally.
And then you got to look at it, the crop here in the United States with the fact that the weather, we got some storms that are set to move in, which could bring some much needed moisture to areas of Kansas, but it's still definitely dry from what I'm understanding in Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, very much so. And I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma, because we've seen a 24-point drop in good to excellent condition since the 1st of April in Oklahoma. And I think that's due to both dryness, as you say, but also probably frost freeze damage based upon what I'm hearing in those parts of the country, and even in clients that are down by Hutchinson, Kansas, talking about issues with the frost freeze and how it probably did get clipped based upon what they're seeing now. And they were waiting for this week and next week to see exactly how the wheat looked in terms of growth. So I think, yeah, you could see some rains come in and really hit some dry areas. But then I'm wondering, because of some of the way the models look, whether some areas in the soft red wheat belt, i.e. Missouri, which is in the top three for soft red wheat typically in production and acreage base, they're looking at enormous amounts of rain potentially the next 6 to 7 days. And I know the old saying in the trade when I first got into the business was you can't drown wheat. Well, when you're talking about the levels that some of these models are projecting, I think you could take out some low-lying areas and really make it messy in terms of disease pressure at the end while we get ready to, you know, in the final stages of this crop.
So what are your thoughts? You brought up the GDP and jobless that came out today. It kind of affected the way we saw the stock market move, and just the markets in general kind of took notice.
Yeah, and this is where, when you look at the fundamentals like I do in the macroeconomic side, the U.S. GDP coming in at plus 1.6%, anytime it's below 2%, that equates to a recessionary pressure to me. And so I have to ask myself, why would a dollar bull be coming in and buying the U.S. dollar, because they are expecting a soft landing at this point? It looks like the soft landing for the United States is less likely to happen than it was 24 hours ago when it comes to the economic data. And secondly, the inflation data that the Fed looks at, the PCE, consumption expenditure number, came out hotter than what the trade was expecting. So again, I say to myself, okay, if you're buying the dollar on the idea that the Fed's not going to cut rates, what about that gold market? What about the record high prices in gold and the sticky inflation? Does that really support the idea of buying the dollar at a 105, 106 price level? And I think this is the heart of what happened in 2009 and why the wheat and the corn, I think, can lead the beans higher counter seasonally if the dollar peaks.
All right, well, stick around, folks. More is coming up as we get ready for the second half of the Channel Final Bell on this Thursday afternoon on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Do you feel confident about the used vehicle you're buying? There's three words you need to know: Midway, Certified, Pre-Owned. Get our lowest hassle-free prices every day on a great selection of Midway Certified Pre-Owned Fords, Hondas, Toyotas, and more. All come with a multi-point inspection, a 6-month, 6,000-mile comprehensive warranty, a 24-month powertrain warranty, plus a 30-day exchange privilege. Available at all three Midway Auto Dealership locations in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com.
Download the KRVN app today and get instant information at your fingertips. Sponsored by Marshall Land Brokers and Auctioneers. Take the station wherever you go. Get the latest ag information, weather forecasts, markets, news, sports, and even podcasts. Stream us live anywhere in the world. Download the free app now from the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Your phone is already loaded with apps, so make sure to download the free KRVN app. Sponsored by Marshall Land Brokers and Auctioneers.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as Mike Zuzulo continues to join us. He's with Global Commodity Analytics. And, you know, what started out with a kind of frustration within the cattle complex today, they ended up finishing on a nice high note in the trade. We know that there was some decent cash that's been moving. The north has been short on cattle, that is. So can we look past these headlines, Mike, are these headlines that you and I haven't had a chance to talk about on the air going to just kind of sit around and loom around in the background for us?
I think they're going to sit around and loom, Susan, at this point. And I think as a person that, you know, is a risk manager and, you know, has been analyzing livestock markets for the better part of 30 years, I think you have to keep your head up and keep a watch on this type of a situation, not just from a livestock perspective, but also from a grain perspective. Two things. I really wonder if without the turnaround higher in the cattle market today, I'm not sure whether the grain markets would have come on so strong as they did, because what I think the market is starting to look at in the corn and in the meal specifically is the influenza A and the HPAI equaling feed demand for both poultry flocks and dairy herds. And I think that makes sense fundamentally. And so that's something that is certainly on my radar screen as a result of that. The second thing I noted was that we saw a really strong turnaround led by the April futures in feeders and fats. And I wonder if that wasn't due to the cash side of the equation, because the April feeders are getting ready to go off the board tomorrow. And yet they still had, I think, around 400 plus daily volume. Fat cattle, same thing. They're getting very close to expiration here at the end of the month. But we still had a very strong surge, and I want to say that the feeders actually were able to make a new weekly high by the end of the day. I hadn't double-checked that on the settlements, but really interesting dynamic when it comes to this cattle trade and now having to weave in between the news wire headlines and the noise of what we're dealing with this influenza A.
Could the saving grace, though, be in the sense that they are short-bought in the north? I don't know what the south is looking like at this point. I saw that they had some sales pretty much taken care of yesterday. But grilling season is literally here.
Yeah, and I think the cold storage numbers have to be mentioned as well. They didn't look that great for the pork side of the equation. The hogs were overbought to begin with, so you're probably in a situation where you needed to feed the bull in the hogs. But the cold storage numbers for beef, some are reporting that it's the lowest since March of 2014. I haven't double-checked that, but that would be a 10-year low in beef stocks in cold storage. And then you look at the beef export sales today, they were only down 3% from the four-week average, and China was still our number one buyer. I think you bring up a big point, and that is the demand side of the equation is still holding in there very nicely, and I think that's crucial. I've told clients and subscribers at this point that The mindset that I had after the cattle on feed report was, because of the placements being so low for the feeders, that we should have put a low in after this cattle on feed report last Friday. As such, I would not want to see the lows taken out from last Friday when it comes to the May feeders and the June fat cattle. If I see those taken out on a closing basis, then I'm going to get very, very nervous that we're going to see a new leg down in this market and that floors need to be put in. Otherwise, I'm just going to take my risk in the cash market and stay as current as possible on strong rallies.
So why did the hogs trade as hard to the downside as they did today?
Yeah, that's a great question, because we need the stock market, we need the dollar, and we need the hogs on our side as we get into summer grilling season. I'm inclined to think that the summer hog price going up to that 107 area again in the June kind of looks like a double top area, and I felt like that double top's probably going to hold unless the dollar cracks and it starts to go lower, and then we could pick up more exports and not have to worry about that coming back into the domestic side of the equation. So I'm going to watch that very carefully, but I'm thinking that it was a retracement and the bulls just took profit because, like I said, the cold storage and the weekly export sales being down 25% from the four-week average probably caused them to take some profit, I would guess.
So what's going to be your watch to on these markets as we head into tonight's overnight trade, knowing the headlines are still going to be there, weather's still going to be there as we move into a Friday trade?
I think we're on the track in corn especially to willingly follow a wheat-led rally at this point. And we've talked about this a lot, and I was hoping that we could get this in April in a counter-seasonal manner. We started to get that. Now the next step, the crucial step, is a peak in the dollar, a high in the dollar. Other than that, those June fat cattle prices, 174.58, that was last Friday's low before the cattle on feed report. May feeders, 241.13, that low. These lows I do not want to see taken out. I'm going to try and keep it as simple as possible for the clients and subscribers because they're busy and because we have so much noise in this market. It's extremely volatile right now.
All right. Best way for folks to get a hold of you, Mike?
GlobalComResearch.com. It's GlobalCom with two M's, research.com. You can take a look at our product services. Also sign up for a free trial.
All right, that has been today's Channel Final Bell. The Channel Final Bell is brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional. Pick this up as a podcast at ruralradionetwork.com or wherever you subscribe. And of course, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When severe weather strikes the plains, KRVN will be there for you. Whether it's a severe thunderstorm, tornado, or flooding, count on live reporting and the latest information crucial to your safety. Coverage sponsored by Skeeter Barnes of Kearney.